Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program again for Wednesday, October. I'm in October. This is March 14th. I did it perfectly the first time.
Nobody will ever know.
2018. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, everybody.
And Michael Kelly.
Always happy to be here, and it's not my fault.
It seems we did an intro once, and there was a glitch, so we had to start over, in case somebody's wondering out there what's going on.
So we'll pick it up from the usual. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. And tonight we'll be talking about the metaphysical universe, and we'll do that in just a moment. I want to read our abbreviated 9 principles of belief. The first one is do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings, consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And for more information on these principles of belief, please visit metaphysicalhumanism.org. So we welcome all those joining us live tonight, as well as those joining us on the archive. We appreciate your time. As I mentioned, tonight we're going to be talking about the metaphysical universe, and it's Pi Day, and if you don't know what that means, we'll let you know. But to begin our conversation, we'll turn it over to Michael.
Well, as you said, it is Pi Day, which is March 14th, 314, or 3.14, which is pi in mathematics. Today is notable also, as many of you know, Stephen Hawking has passed away. He was a brilliant mind, kind of a quite funny guy, which always goes to show you that intelligence is always goes along with humor. And he really opened a lot of doors when it came to human understanding of the mechanics of the universe and time. It's also notable because today is Albert Einstein's birthday, also March 14th. So it seemed only natural to discuss the universe. And, I mean, really what we're talking about is the nature of the reality in which that which we inhabit. And to truly understand metaphysics, or the study of our existence, of awareness, we have to be able to understand that reality that we are in, and that's defined by our perceptions of the universe, both physical and not. And that is not just Earth, not just this one planet. We are one among trillions. We are in a vast, vast universe, and very likely multiple universes. And this opens the door to so many questions and so many possibilities. And really, if you have an infinite universe, there are infinite possibilities and infinite eventualities. So how does this relate? What does this mean for who we are in our lives? And
well, maybe if we just kind of give the definition of what pi means, that might be it's a curious start. That's why we're talking about it. I have the Wikipedia up on Pi at the moment because I could never remember how to see, it all had to do with a circle. I knew that. And when I went to build a round pen for my horses, I always had to ask somebody, what's the pi and how do you find how many feet around do I need it if I want a diameter of this? And it was, but pi is that, they call it an irrational number. And it's because it's a mathematical constant. It's like the ratio of the circle's circumference to its diameter, and it just is, it's an endless number. So it's 3.14159, but it just goes on forever, and it's, that's how you would know how many, if you multiply whatever by 3.14, it tells you like your diameter by that, it'll tell you how many feet around a circle you need. that's the way I would
things.
Yeah, amidst other things too. So it's that's where Stephen Hawking, he and again I brought up Wikipedia so we could articulate this maybe really carefully. He, aside from having 4 degrees and being absolutely genius, they called him a theoretical physicist, cosmologist, author, and researcher. And, I mean, excuse me, he collaborated on the gravitational singularity theorems, general relativity, talked about black holes, and in fact, he did some kind of theoretical prediction in how they emit radiation. It was called the Hawking radiation. But he was the first to set out a theory of cosmology explained by union of the general theory of relativity and quantum mechanics. And this is where, you know, in the last 20, 30 years, people have more been freely been using the word metaphysics. And that's kind of where Stephen Hawking came in, because he was able to partner science and philosophy and take us into really extraordinary worlds with quantum mechanics. So,
well, theoretical physics is metaphysics. I mean, think about it. Everything is metaphysics, you know, the study of consciousness and existence. So, but especially within the science realm, theoretical physics is, that's metaphysics. It's what they do. They may not call it that, but that's exactly what it is. And, you know, this is such an exciting time to live, the last, in terms of astronomy and cosmology and all that, in the last 20 years maybe, 20, 30 years at most, we just continue to make so many discoveries. And I don't know if anybody out there watches any of these documentaries and Science Channel and so forth, but there's a couple of them. One of them is How the Universe Works. I always enjoy that because they talk about so many of the different things, you know, dwarf planets and, you know, Planet Nine. And the last night when I watched it, they were talking about space-time, and that really added to my knowledge of how the universe is made. And, you know, I feel like we're coming to understand better what this universe is about, how it's made, and it's space-time. It's like the fabric of the universe. And if you've watched it, you'll know what I'm talking about. And they often use like a net, you know, to describe gravity. And Einstein, I think, had done that, but that's the visual. So if you look, you know, like a trapeze net, and you put a heavy ball, like a bowling ball, in it, it's going to dip down, and you see that, like, vortex-type thing. And that's what gravity is. You know, things tend to fall in toward it if they're circling it. And if they're going at a constant speed, like the Earth is going at a constant speed around the sun, it maintains that distance. And so that's gravity. And they talk about how gravity, obviously, the more mass you have, the greater the gravity. That's why the sun has more gravity than the Earth, and Jupiter more than Earth, and so forth. And gravity can change, and time can change. And they have this thing called gravitational lensing. And they've shown examples of that where you'll have one galaxy very, very far away, in front of a galaxy that's even further away. One, the closest one is a, what they call a red galaxy, and the further one away is a blue galaxy, but they're right in the line of sight. Yet we can see both of them because the further one, the light bends around the gravitational force of that red galaxy. It's fascinating. And it, the thing that I find so interesting is that we're coming to a better understanding of what gravity is, what space-time is, what time can change. In fact, you may be aware of this, but the further you get away from the gravitational field, the closer you get, the more time changes. And so even with a few thousand miles between Earth and the GPS satellites out there, the satellites actually have to update. They have atomic clocks on them. But the time, 21,000 miles out, I think that's what they are, something like that, the time goes at a different rate than the time on Earth. And if they didn't constantly adjust for that difference, they said last night on the program that within an hour, you couldn't use your GPS because it'd be way out of sync. I mean, who knows where you'd end up. But I find it fascinating, and you can relate all of this back to reality, because theoretical physics, quantum mechanics, all of that bears so much on our greater understanding of reality. Thoughts?
Well, I would say that it's really the very notion of the infinite is almost impossible to grasp, truly. And that's kind of what we're talking about when it comes to existence and time. And I was reading several different theories when it comes to the multiverse and how that might play into our universe. One is an interesting theory. It's the concept that space-time is likely flat but stretches out to infinity. If space-time goes on forever, then it must start repeating at some point because there are a finite number of ways particles can be arranged in space and time. Therefore, you have a separation of universes where you might have additional Big Bangs, additional galaxies, but that are separated by vast amounts of space-time that essentially create their own universe. Or the concept of a bubble universe where certain pockets of space-time stop accelerating while other pockets continue to accelerate, thereby creating additional universes in essence. Which is kind of an interesting take on the multiverse theory.
Mm-hmm. You know, years ago, I'll just be brief, Through the Wormhole had an episode where they talked about the many worlds theory, the multiple universes, and the bubble thing. You know, and each universe is in its own bubble. And then they brought in the concept of how all of the galaxies in our universe are basically flying away from one another and increasing their speed. So they're getting faster and faster, and everything's moving away from everything. And they were trying to figure out what's the cause of this? What's attracting everything? What's pulling everything in all different directions away from one another and increasing the speed? And, you know, and they theorized, speculated that, you know, all these bubble universes, there might be other universes right around us, which could be providing that attractive force. There could be a greater reality beyond that, attracting everything. It's fascinating. Dr. Hunter?
Well, I was just thinking, you know, how does this play into everyday life? And what would this all mean to average people? Like, who cares? You know, but the who cares of it is our reality and all the experiences that we have, whether it's, I don't know, talking to spirits or thinking you can teleport or being telepathic, it is mathematically explainable. And that's what's exciting to me.
And that's a great point. All these things that we think are paranormal or whatever can be explained with mathematics. We just may not have that mathematics yet.
Well, mathematics is really the language the written language of life and existence. Pi. 3.14, it's a geometric mathematical equation. It's DNA.
And Fibonacci, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I think this is where Stephen Hawking, you know, as we celebrate him today, and Albert Einstein and Pi, is that they have taken us, these are these extraordinary minds that have taken us another step, or I would say a whole lot of steps, forward in our advancement as a species to have a better understanding of ourselves in those equations. And interestingly enough, these were all very philosophical men too. You know, they weren't just what you would consider a dry academia. You know, they had humor, they had philosophies, they had insights, and they were somewhat activists, being involved in social, you know, events and humanity. So I think that's where, you know, where do we go from here? It's like where when these other minds pick up where Stephen Hawking and Albert Einstein have left off. I do think it's interesting that they both died when they were 76. And I do see it interesting mathematically that Pi Day, you know, one's born, one's died, and there's a synchronicity or some kind of alignment there. So again, something else mathematical. We may not understand it, but it is, for the moment, good to observe and offer us many more new questions.
Good points. Michael, any other thoughts you wanted to express?
Well, I was just thinking about, we've been talking about a couple of great human beings that really advanced human knowledge, and it makes me think that of the phrase standing on the shoulders of giants, which I thought warranted a little bit of looking into. Apparently it goes back very far and derives from a Latin phrase, but it's, you know, essentially the notion of discovering truth by building on previous discoveries. And really, it's important to remember that this is a human endeavor that we're all a part of. Everything is interrelated. Everything connects. That's why we're seeing rapid advancement now, is because our art connects with science, connects with fiction often, which is all interrelated. And the more sciences and the more disciplines you expand into, the more breakthroughs you'll find in areas you would never have expected. So, I mean, remember...
Well, there's one... Go ahead, sir.
I was just going to say, remember that each and every one of us is part of that, part of the world that drives this human endeavor forward.
And I just wanted to, as a side point, I just wanted to note that, you know, that ability to build on previous knowledge is a uniquely human trait. You know, especially when you think about generations, and the animals certainly learn and learn to do things, or, you know, learn not to do things like most animals. But beyond the generation, that's kind of it. Humans can build on the knowledge of one another, and that's what one of the big things that separates us from most other life, if not all other life. And I'm not talking about sentient alien life. I'm just talking about on this planet. So metaphysics and the universe, the metaphysical universe, how can it help us to understand? Well, the probably the big point of this discussion is that there is so much, obviously, we don't know, but think about just the cosmos. The observable universe goes out to 3.7, 3.8 billion years ago, depending on who you ask, and that's all we can see. It may go on infinitely past that, but we can only see that far away, and because the light's reached us. And so I'm trying to look at the, I'm not sure what, 13 million, yeah. I've heard lots of different, it's like, you know, how many stars are in the Milky Way? Well, depending on who you ask, 100 to 400 billion. You hear all kinds of different figures. But the point of this is that this universe is, there's so much wonder in it. It's so vast. You know, the latest, and I've mentioned this before, the latest figure that I've heard on documentaries is they estimate 2 trillion galaxies. Now, it used to be 100 billion just a few years ago, a couple of years ago. Now they're estimating 2 trillion, and that's probably low as well. And so you look at this universe with that many 2 trillion galaxies, and each one have maybe an average of 100 or 200 billion stars. Holy mackerel, you know, it's like, and we're it? We're the only life here? No, not at all. The universe is teeming with life. of all kinds, you know, and sentient life. And we look at that, and so you begin to go deeper and say, okay, well, where did it all come from? Well, we don't really know. You know, the current theory is the Big Bang, but a lot of religions say, well, you can't get something from nothing. Well, we all know that to be true in our universe. You don't get something from nothing. However, the Big Bang may not have been something from nothing. It might have been something, you know, well, like a black hole. Son, you were talking about that earlier.
I was just going to say that, I believe that you cannot get something from nothing. Therefore, everything has always been. The matter that makes up our existence has always been. And time, again, just as you mentioned, is relative. Very, very relative. You pointed out the GPS satellites will vary as close as they are. And I think it's the relative nature of our perspective that forms a lot of our thinking on it, because if in another parallel multiverse reality, the laws of physics perhaps work differently. So perhaps our entire understanding of certain things would be thrown off, which is kind of the fun asking questions that can never be answered side of things. But.
Yeah, but the thing to think about for our listeners is, and you may have done this, but to keep going deeper, peeling the onion layers off, because there's something more to reality than we know. I mean, there's a lot more to it. It's just like, you know, if we used to think that the Milky Way was the universe, well, that's not true. It's just a galaxy, one of many, you know. And then I mean, this is 100 years ago, that we discovered, you know, the Andromeda became a galaxy and not just some nebula cluster. And so then we back up a little bit. You know, it's like backing up from the forest to see the entire thing. And you keep getting further away and you keep seeing more and more. And so now, you know, there was a billion galaxies. Now then there was 100 billion. Now there's 2 trillion. And what's next? You know, we keep going bigger and bigger. There's one universe. Now there's perhaps multiple universes. And what's above that? And then you extrapolate that to reality, to us. You know, are we just here for a few decades and that's it? And there's nothing left? That doesn't make any sense. Because whatever is responsible for the creation of this universe, it definitely connects back to us. And we're part of it. That consciousness, which I believe is the gas that makes everything go. You know, it's the fuel. It's the one constant, and we're all tied into that consciousness. It's that consciousness permeates everything, all kinds of life in various measures. You know, whether it's pets or wild animals or humans or great apes or, you know, dolphins and so forth. I mean, everything has this measure of consciousness, and everything is connected in one way or another, even plants. So it makes you wonder, and it gives, it's awe-inspiring, and it gives us hope that the problems that we see on an everyday basis, the fears, the self-doubt and all that stuff, it should just fly away, because we're part of something grand. We're part of something magnificent and wondrous and awe-inspiring. Sure, we don't know exactly the extent of it or what it all entails, but it must entail something grand and wondrous and awe-inspiring, and we're part of that. So we never want to give up hope. We never want to get bogged down with our own problems or with our own stuff. I mean, sure, we need to solve those, sure. But we don't want to lose sight of the fact that we're not alone. We're all together in this, and we're learning. We're walking our paths. We're learning our lessons, and we should be anyway. And that leads to more peaceful and stable life. So there's something.
Absolutely.
Well, I think the more we expand our thoughts and see, whoa, Earth is really insignificant in these multiple universes, we then see its significance, because this is the one we're living. So to me, that's where there's that paradox, you know, but it's a juxtaposition. It's a yin and yang, and it's every which way you want to look at it, and it's just the value of this planet and this reality that we have in this moment. So It's important. That's all.
And in a similar vein, in the chat room, Fran wrote, if the answers are within us, then perhaps we should concentrate on who we are, and maybe the answers we seek about the universe and the source will be answered. And that's true. You know, the questions we seek will be answered. So that's true. And I think that's where it lies. I believe that the keys to everything lies in consciousness. And science is not yet ready to embrace that entirely. But it's, again, consciousness is the gas that makes this engine run. It's throughout everything. And with, along with that consciousness, are links and ties to the Akashic record, to everything that is everywhere. You know, consciousness transcends, in my opinion, transcends universes. It's the force. You know, we're used to Star Wars. It's the force. It's what ties us all together. And it's fascinating. So if you want to learn more about the universe, learn more about yourself and keep going and digging deeper and peeling those onion layers away, and you'll learn a lot more. All right. Any concluding thoughts before we start pulling cards? If you want a card, put your name in the chat room.
I'd just like to say that it's been an extraordinary lifetime for me watching all these changes, because I'm still back on 9 planets when I was like in grade 3 science.
Yeah, 9 planets.
And
sorry, there's only 8 now.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Okay. 8.
So 20th century.
You know, but having essentially all these past few decades watching and listening and hearing Stephen Hawking, it's another closure. It's another moment to reflect at, geez, mortality for one thing. I got a brief history of time 20 some years ago, and I did my best. I really did. Tried to read it. You know, it's a tough one to get through. You have to have a certain mind for it, I think. But I knew how significant it was, and you know, it is. So, you know, for a moment today, I think we're just giving a little tribute to some people who have helped to open our consciousness and change our world. And it certainly changes mine in yeah. ways, even if I'm not a mathematician. So.
And there are a lot of them, too, many unsung heroes in the scientific community as well, who have added to the knowledge, the human knowledge base. So, you know, it's a tribute to all of them. Keep up that good work.
All right. We do have some people in the chat room who'd like a card. So let's start off, shall we, with Fran. Oh, inspiration and motivation for you, Fran. That's number 45 in the Inner Oracle deck for people who are listening and don't know of our deck yet. So it says, inspiration and motivation come from hope. Motivation means finding a meaningful reason to do something. Look within for inspiration leading to motivation by reflecting on your goals and the life you want to live. Drive and accomplishment may be missing from your life, or your life may revolve too heavily around it. One or the other. Remain balanced, inspired, and motivated with the vigor of positive energy. So that's a good inspiration, motivation.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that. That's a little message for you today, Fran. We have Dr. Shirley next, so maybe Michael would like to help us out here and choose
always.
A card for Dr. Shirley. Nice to see you here, Shirley.
And Dr. Shirley, I pulled, it's number 15, Belief Systems Knowledge Base.
I always just wait to hear what cards are pulled after we have a discussion. The previous card on inspiration motivation talked about hope, mm-hmm. you know, and now this one,
well,
which is, read it again.
It's belief system knowledge base, number 15. We each operate life from an existing belief system, and sometimes the solution or direction lies outside our belief system. Equally, when knowledge is expanded, belief system calls for revision. Consider that opening the mind for more information and knowledge may be required subsequently adjusting a belief system. Know that knowledge you seek is within. And I think let's talk about belief systems, and science in many ways can be a belief system. And if we're talking about expanding knowledge, the belief system's changed. Today is momentous because Albert Einstein changed our perceptions of a belief system in a way, expanding it, changing it. And I hope that has a direct meaning for you too, Dr. Shirley.
She says that she keeps getting this card pulled.
Wow. Well, I have one for Jeff, and it's number 41, communication. The most important form of communication is with the higher self, reflecting on one's spiritual evolution. A good communicator both listens and speaks equally, interactively, and with interest. A poor communicator either talks too much or listens too much. A lack of communication will kill any relationship. And this is the most effective method for ending any unhealthy relationship. Assertive communication is direct, honest, empathetic, and focuses on win-win. Communication, along with trust, is one of the two most important relationship traits.
Would you read the first sentence again when you get a chance?
The most important form of communication is with the higher self.
Yeah.
Reflecting on one's spiritual evolution.
There you go.
Little message there for a little affirmation, I think, for you, Jeff. That's a good one. I like that one for you. We have Dr. Tabitha next. Michael?
All right, Dr. Tabitha, I've pulled number 43, expediency. Oop. Almost dropped the card.
Uh-oh. What does that mean? We don't have a rule for that one.
It would have expediently fallen to the ground.
You just need the book. You don't need the card.
Timing is everything. Some things call for expediency. Others require us to slow down. If you have a problem, you can take care of it now or suffer longer and still take care of it later. It takes courage to face important matters when timing and opportunity avails, and wisdom to know when to slow down and assess the correct actions before acting promptly. For success in anything, do what you should do when you should do it. And a truer phrase is never said.
Yep. Now if we could just figure out what to do and when to do it, we'd be all there. That's the challenge. So, expediency, you know, and that's, you know, the old comic slogan, right? Get her done. You know, let me just get up on my high horse for a second here. We've talked about metaphysical universe. We've talked about how wondrous and awe-inspiring it is and how it relates back to us and consciousness and how we're part of this and we're all connected. And we've talked about the cards that, you know, came up, you know, on inspiration, motivation, belief system and communication and so forth. And it all ties together in hope and expediency. So here's the thing. We have our path to walk, and nobody else can walk it for us. And we should not allow anybody else to walk it for us. And if we don't walk it, nobody else will walk it. If we don't walk it, that means we're walking somebody else's path. We have taken on somebody else's identity, and we're walking their path. So we can't do that. We're here to walk our own path, to learn our own lessons, and to make our own way, and to really make a positive difference on this planet and in this realm. That's what we're here for. And we can't get bogged down too much with the stuff that life throws us. We have to keep it balanced. We have to, first of all, not take ourselves too seriously. And I say that to remind myself more than you guys. But we have to learn our lessons, solve our problems, learn from that, and achieve that peaceful, stable life and making a positive difference, helping others, do no harm, do right. You know, spending our time making, lightening the load for others and being a part of the solution rather than the problem. And we need to be about that. That's where expediency comes in. We can't we can't just throw our lives away, you know, all day watching TV or whatever, doing things that don't really matter. That doesn't mean you can't watch TV. Yeah, do it. But we have to have something that drives us, something that gets us out of bed, as George Burns said. You know, you got to have something to get you out of bed in the morning. And if you don't have that, then find it. And if you say, well, I've looked, I can't find it. Well, I don't want to hear all the reasons why you can't do it. I want to hear all the reasons why you can. And it just takes time and growth. And if you're not finding it, I'll tell you, that simply means you don't have enough information yet. You need to keep researching. You need to keep searching. Gain information and grow. Be about that. How hard can it be? Again, you don't want to get to the end of your days on your deathbed with a bad case of the woulda, coulda, shoulda, the if-onlys, and the might-have-beens. We don't want to get to that point and look back on these terrible, adversitous times that we've had, and we look back and say, you know what? In retrospect, that really wasn't nearly as big a deal as I thought it was at the time. Because this stuff passes. Everything passes. This too shall pass, the old expression. And so we want to be about our work, fulfilling our purpose and our mission in life. And that means always, always being a lifelong student. Seize the information and go after that which interests you. And just be about living your life and being you. And don't let anybody ever, ever take that from you. Be you and be a real life human being. Be you, but don't take yourself way too seriously. You know, be down to earth, feet on the ground, head on your shoulders, open-minded, just not so open-minded your brains fall out, but be open-minded, inquisitive, curious, and go after what you dream about. There, I've done with my rant.
Well, you know, Fran has her own deck of Oracle cards at home, and mm-hmm. she pulled a card and said in the chat room that her card for tonight was wild card number 4, unknowable. So I'm going to read that for all of our listeners because it's a good one, Fran.
Mm-hmm.
There are mysteries in the universe. Not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent. You know, I'm sorry. I am dog sitting, and the dog has just decided to drink water. And it's very noisy. So, what a guy.
Oh, you're fine.
A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind and you change your world. Change your mind and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and incitations of your higher self. And what was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change. So, there we go. With the dog still drinking water. See, that's how we keep it real. That's our, like, in our daily life.
I'm sorry. I had muted it, my bad. Boy, I haven't done that in a long time. And I wanted to say that, that I don't know what I wanted to say. I wanted to say that's all good stuff. So
you never know what's going to happen on the show, whether it's cats meowing, you know, dogs drinking water, you know.
That's what I wanted to say. Actually, we're all real life human beings, and we live in a real world, and it's important to be us.
Well, that's why I can't make mistakes.
Well, good for you. Of course, one person once told me I'm never wrong except for when I'm... What did you say?
Well, whoever that
I'm always right except for when I'm wrong. That's what you said.
Well, I think what that person may have said was, I'm never wrong, I'm just less right.
Yeah, that's
a good one.
That's what you said. Never wrong, just less right. All right. So, anyway, folks, we're wrapping it up for tonight. And I really
Happy Pi Day.
Yeah, happy Friday, and really appreciate all your attention, those that are live, those listening to the archive. Thanks to Dr. Hunter, thanks to Michael, appreciate you as well. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.